Alright, time for another Google is Evil, DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yay. So, there is a new brief, 15-minute long mini movie, it's called, on antinatalism. So apparently it was done without real knowledge of the subject of effulism, so it's sort of separate from, I guess, my philosophy anyway. So I haven't watched it, so I figure we could watch it and see, just get my honest reaction and see if there's anything in that as a strategy. It's all thought-provoking in the end, I've been making these videos lately and just been pointing out what my brain produces as a thought. And I can sit for 5 minutes and I can let thoughts percolate. And there's themes and ideas that rise to the top, and it is kind of nasty that we can't, that it's not like some library or our understanding, and everything's in a nice category. I can just go through everything in that category, like all the good arguments for antinatals, like the Frankenstein argument, the roller coaster argument, the risk argument, Las Vegas argument. Yes, you're gambling with somebody else's welfare, You're going to Las Vegas with somebody else's money. That's what natalism is. It's this insane, I think I'm going to win. You're going to be better off than me. Okay, yes, I can't control my own weight, and I can't do this, and I have this problem, and I have to take pills to, even have babies. I can't even do making babies without dysfunction in my life. But my life is so swell that I'm going to impose it on somebody else with the risk that they're going to be worse off than me. Yeah, that's just really not being a nice person. See, now I've never in my life imposed. It's like I never got a girl drunk. I never even encouraged her to drink. I never even passed her a drink. I've never done anything in my life to sit there and say, I'm going to try to, force somebody to serve my purposes. And I can't say I've been, I didn't save people either. I mean, I didn't tell them not to do this and not to do that. And, I didn't interfere either way. But it's just the idea of the bold step it is. Even as a kid, I just imagined, what kind of jeopardy. Anything that happens to the kid is your fault. Would I want that responsibility for the rest of my life? I gotta worry? Even though I saw that my parents didn't worry. they weren't much concerned at all. If tragedy struck. I remember signing the life insurance policy, It's kind of a weird moment in life when you're like 10 years old and your father hands you a piece of paper you're supposed to sign. That basically says they get paid $10,000 if you drop dead. what is that? It's practical. It's not that it's a wrong thing, but I mean, it just points out how, you really haven't insured my welfare, have you? you're not guaranteeing me anything here. You're just throwing me into this shit and saying, well, you'll either sink or swim, and it's, somehow it's not my problem. I didn't make this boat, when, of course, they did make the boat, and I'm sitting in. It's all a mindset. It's all how people think, about how they live their life. And I guess I would argue that it becomes easy to be an antinatalist if you're at all concerned about being an imposer, being an imposition, being a problem for somebody else. You don't like showing up at their house for dinner and having a heart attack and, making a big scene and all that. that bothers you. That kind of stuff bothers you. You don't like being a burden and a problem. And if you're that kind of person, then you're going to know, why would I have a kid? Because I'm just setting it up to be imposing all kinds of stuff that's going to happen to it that I can't control. And why would I get into that mess? I mean, it's like having a pet or something, it's a bit of a burden. you got to take it that way. In hindsight, I could say that as a kid, I wasn't, I wasn't as good to my dog as I should have been. And I feel bad about that. And, you know, I mean, he had, you know, moments where I was distracted having a life and, you know, I wasn't paying attention to the dog. And he was lonely, probably. And I feel, you know, like I said, in hindsight, I can appreciate how you can lose sight of what's going on this planet and how, you know, you have all this, you're involved in all of these exchanges of value. You know, you get something out and, you know, but you got to pay the price for what you're getting out. You know, I had to pay the, you know, I didn't pay the full freight for taking on the responsibility of being a dog's friend, you know, his caregiver. I mean, yeah, I fed him. I did all, you know, I just mean he deserved better than he got, but he got it from a person who didn't know, you know, I didn't know I was going to go a little psycho in my teenage years. I didn't, you know, so I'm just saying you do any kind of, you know, you have some decent thoughts roll through your head. One of the decent thoughts is, why the hell would I take on such a gigantic, humongous responsibility? And so that should be the movie, just how humongous the responsibility is. You got to watch it every second. You got to be attentive to it all the time because it's a boat just wanting to sink. It just wants to. Okay, it's really flat. The water can get in really easy. You can make holes in it just by breathing a little too hard. I mean, it's a really fragile boat. And why the hell would I want the responsibility to keep it afloat? Yeah. That's the story, right? So that's one story. And then you can just make lots of other little stories to try to explain this is three pigs and all the pigs die, okay? This is little red... Everybody dies, okay? There's no... Nobody wins in this silly, stupid story. Ugh, shit. Anyway. So, let's play some of this and see what it does to my brain. Yeah, I didn't like that part much.
Are you sure what's going on?
Are you sure that's going to run? Okay, something. She was going for a run. Okay, I think that's what he said. So, all right. All right, so it could have been a little more articulate. Could have got it, but I think it's not gonna matter because I'm gonna be able to figure it out from the context.
Oh yeah, I want to clear my head.
Okay, I want to clear my head. Okay, so it's speaking sort of another language. So maybe I'll turn this down a little. I'll turn this down a lot, and we'll hope that we have a working medium.
Well, don't be too long. He'll be here soon.
Probably too low now. I don't know. Okay, we'll go up a little bit. Oh, dog. See? There you go. I predicted it.
Okay, brilliant. I can't wait. I'll bring my
best. So, it's nice they got actors. They're actually acting out, you know, performance art. You know, I wanted to make such a movie, but it's just too hard to put me out of character, right? I'm always the same character.
The market was quite great today.
Jibber jabber. Yeah, a little too jibber jabbery. So, I can't tell what they're saying much.
Not literally. Yeah. That's not good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's rich.
Yeah. Okay,
we get
a payout.
Oh, that's...
Well, it's a nice house and all that stuff. So I guess they're setting us up for the decision to have a baby.
I mean, that's kind of a unique chance for us, but I really have no idea what to expect.
I know, it's come around so quickly as well.
Like, overall, we're good people, right?
Yeah, but people...
Okay, yeah, but we're overall good people. Yeah, but people different, it takes. Okay, so yeah, they gotta fix the... the closed caption isn't worth much.
Well, different, it takes more than just that to be a good parent, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yes, it takes magic powers. Okay, that's what it takes. Because you have to prevent all the, you know... possibilities, all the negative possibilities. You have to somehow figure out how to get all those really, you know, the harsh ones, all the disease and all the other accidents and all the other crap. I mean, there's a swimming pool, the kid could have a drowning incident and then become water phobic and blah 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 blah.
Oh, he's here.
Dan, Hannah, glad to see you guys again.
Jerome, hey, yeah, how was life?
I'm good, thank you.
So all the trite little crap that goes on. So just more example of just how frivolous and silly our lives are. We do these silly little rituals. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. Okay, I'm not really fine, but I can't explain it. I got a mother-in-law and blah, 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 and it's just bitch and blah, blah, blah. So no, instead we just fake our way through, try to make a good impression.
So, should we start?
Oh yeah, please, please, welcome to our house. John, it's such a privilege for us to be the part of the beta testing. It means a world to us.
You can't imagine how privileged we are at Nextus to be able to...
Okay, so it's Nextus. We're doing some sort of experiment. You get to be the beta. We're going to turn you into cyborgs. And, you know, I don't know. It'll be like Groundhog Day, except you'll never remember that you're living the same day over and over again. So you'll just live the same day over and over again. Without remembering. So yeah, well, see, it's memory. See, as soon as I said memory, then that made me think about the commenter who, you know, wants to go into the minutia of my statement that you're basically not conscious till you're 3 years old in a significant way, because you don't remember any of it. And memories are essential to what we call consciousness, in the sense that you are your memories. That's your identity. You don't have one. You don't have an identity. Your consciousness is trapped in a groundhog scenario where it, you know, again, it's repeating experiences and doing things, but none of it has any context or meaning because none of it's remembered. None of it has meaning as what it's going to represent as a future. It's not going to make you react, just like I reacted to the word memory, and I reacted and I had, you know, I thought of, none of that happens. You don't have any of those reactions. And we are our reactions. We are how I could take what I'm feeling right now and I could put it into somebody else. And to them, it wouldn't feel like doom and paranoia. Okay, it would just feel like I have a cold, you know, or something like that. They would interpret it completely different because they don't have the foreboding that goes with the certain little triggers and the words and the concepts and the memories.
Find such a gracious couple with high degree of conscious and expediency.
Yeah, we've been preparing to have a child for quite some time now.
We've been preparing. I don't know. So that part's a little bit unrealistic, right? Because people really don't prepare. Most of it happens in immature couples that haven't really thought about it and blah, 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 blah. They just do it as a routine. It's just like, oh, yes, let's have a family because my mother wants one. You know, she wants to try again to fuck somebody up.
We just feel this is the final step before finally conceiving.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a decade of research and...
So I don't even know what all this says. So, you know, that's a whole nother subject, is, you know, the extraordinary lengths people go to, you know, to satisfy this desire to have a baby that isn't even theirs, you know, or, you know, just the idea of having to go through, like, you have all kinds of infertility issues, and yet you want to force yourself to have a kid that's going to have the same likely genetic defects that are going to lead it to have the same difficulties to overcome. I mean, it's like the people who, you know, change who they are, you know, physically, go through plastic surgery and all this crap, and then have kids, like, oh, somehow their kid isn't going to have the same defects they originally had. They think they have now improved their genetic code. I mean, you'd almost say they can't be that stupid, but how could they, you know, how stupid are they? They really do think, oh yeah, it'd be a great idea if my kid has a bunch of plastic surgery, maybe dies in, you know, having a nose job. I mean, that would be fun.
Billions of dollars invested into the program.
I still can't believe that's possible in our time.
The process was quite elaborate. We isolated your specific egg and sperm to create...
All right, so this is, you know, imagine somebody could watch it and they could, okay, they're getting to the story. Okay, so again, this is some sort of, again, you know, it's not gripping.
An embryo. That embryo was then scanned and digitalized in a virtual reality of a physical world. Those cells were then combined to create a virtual embryo that is empowered by a computer until the birth of your child occurs in a synthetic way.
But does that mean...
Yes.
So this is like some toy you could buy that would cry like a baby and, you know, behave like a baby, but it's a virtual little machine. And so this is a combination of AI and reality, where I think that, you know, it always fails because it always tries to give the AI the ability to feel when it's a completely different construct. I mean, making the computer that can do the thinking thing, you know, that can associate words, come up with sentences, you know, do the stuff like me talking, doing that kind of thing is one thing. Creating a sensation is a whole nother kind of programming. It's a whole different mechanism, and there's absolutely no way for us to construct such an AI because it would we wouldn't be able to tell when we actually made it feel. You know, we could shoot electricity into something and we wouldn't have any idea that we made a feeling. And so we wouldn't be able to take the little bit, you know, we wouldn't be able to make like a dim LED and then make the LED brighter and brighter and brighter, because we'd never be able to see that it was a dim LED. So we'd never know that we made light. Yeah. And so we'd never be able to, it seems an improbable construction to make a sentient being, a synthetic sentience. You'd have to use a piece of our biology, you know, because there's a minimum number. You could extract neurons from my brain, right? And you could say, okay, which ones are really necessary for me to be conscious, and that is capable of going ouch. And you could probably reduce the brain by, you know, 70%, you know. So there's some kernel of function that is the core, a kernel. And I'd argue, but that's probably a kernel that's already in an insect brain. It's a tiny little amount of brain that you actually need to create, synthesize feelings, but we're not going to do it.
We created an AI conscious of your yet unborn child, so you'll be able to have a conversation and ask any sorts of questions.
But how do...
What the hell? You have a conversation with who? But how do we communicate with the child? Oh, for the first 3 years, it's going to be a real boring conversation.
We communicate with the child.
Well, I brought you a piece of our technology. Since you let us scan your brains, the offspring will be raised by the virtual versions of you. The mind will have memories of how he ate.
So whatever. So they're going to speed up the whole process of having a kid, and they're going to synthesize you making all kinds of stupid mistakes, and then they're going to say, this is your kid, he's Adolf Hitler. Is that what they're going to do?
Learn to speak and hang out with his parents throughout his childhood and adolescence. He is now at the dawn of his adulthood, so he's pretty mature to talk about pretty much any topic. I think that's all you have to know for now. I'll be outside if you need any questions, and I'll leave you to edit.
All right, so he's going to be some kind of hippie or something.
Wait, you said that he's into his...
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
Oh my God, should we call him?
What about Justin?
Well, your synthetic parents called him, Funknuckle. Yeah. Funknuckle Hunkendunkskin. Yeah.
Jasper?
How do you know?
Well, we got the name off of the information from the brain cells. Anyways, you guys don't be nervous. Like I said, if you have any more questions, I'll be outside.
Alright.
So I don't even know what that means. He just has to leave the room because, yes, it's going to blow up or something. A bunch of snot is going to fly out. Synthetic.
Alright, thanks.
So I don't even know why, you know, I don't even know for some people, I don't even know, for women, I don't think having a kid is, like, what they're thinking about is, I can't wait till it's 14, all right, and I can have a conversation with it. That's really not what they're into. They're into the, you know, yelling at the toddler, being a nag, you know, tuck in your shirt, blah, 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 you know, tie your shoes, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're into this whole natling thing in the sense of, they want to control a little life, you know, or something, you know. So it really just has to do with babies. As I pointed out, I don't get the guy thing at all. So I don't even know why a guy would have any interest at all in having a kid. For what, you know, what do you do with it? It's absolutely just a mess waiting to happen on you. You know, you wouldn't even let it sit in your lap because it might piss on you or something. I mean, fuck it. What do you do with this thing? It's not useful. That's my personal opinion. I just can't find inside of me any love of immature humans. Dudes!
Oh my gosh,
you're kind of totally retarded.
Hey. How's life?
Complicated. What do you think of date rapers and shit? I did get a couple of chicks, a little bit drunk, and, you think you can get me off, mommy?
Life.
Yeah, like, how's it going?
Like he wouldn't, they're making him retarded because he's synthetic, he's somehow really slow. You're asking me now? Why didn't you ask me this like 5 years ago or 20 or 15, 18 years ago?
Yeah, indeed, yeah. It's going. Wow. I'm good. Wait, are you?
We're kinda your parents.
What do you mean, kinda? You've been my parents since I've known myself.
Sorry, I'm just a bit nervous.
I wanted to ask you, what do you think of us as parents?
Well, remember when I...
Oh, shit. Anyway.
I was 8 years old. You saw me picking my nose, and right after I swallowed that booger, you appeared with an...
Oh, well, they didn't need to go there, did they? I mean, they... I remember when I was 5 and I shit my pants, and They could have found a way to metaphor it without going here, right?
Angry face. But instead of berating me, you actually said that you do it yourself when nobody's around. And we were pondering.
I mean, they didn't need to. What for? I mean, I don't do that. This isn't some, like, private fun, is it? Is this really some kind of, this is... What's next? Farts?
Been on organizing grand booger buffet, so people...
Oh, please, it just... Well, sorry, this took all kinds of wrong turns for me. Not really.
You can come out as they are.
Oh.
I felt so accepted, remember?
Oh.
Yeah, and there was another time.
So, like any of this would be, this is just such a poor metaphor to any part of your real life and the little traumas you have and the things you get upset about, and how useless your parents were in all those circumstances, where the world was beating the shit out of you and there's, no way to fix it.
The day I needed my tooth to be extracted, and you... Dad, you said, oh, no worries, honey, it's not a big deal. And I replied in a grumpy way, saying, oh, it's not a big deal for you because it's not your tooth. You smiled at me, came into the dentist's office with me, sat next to the dental chair next to mine.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how that would help at all, frankly. How the fuck would that ever help? Oh, there's somebody in the dentist office with me. It'll make it all so much better. See, I'm not relating to any of this as being part of my reality.
And ask the other doctor to remove any tooth he likes so my boy doesn't have to feel like a lonely sufferer. I mean, wow. I just thought, what a cool dad.
That would make a lot of sense to me as a kid if my father said, go ahead, pull one of my teeth out too. What do I need him for? I'm not going to live much longer. What the fuck? This makes sense somewhere? No, it doesn't make sense somewhere.
moved, remember?
Will he do that?
Seems like I have all these wonderful memories of moments filled with your presence that have happened to me, but they haven't yet taken place in your life, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, so I don't know, maybe the theme is here is that they are going to realize that they're not nearly as good as the synthetic parents. And they don't want to live the synthetic parents' life. They don't want to, the responsibility to actually be a good parent.
We just wanted to know whether you'll be happy with us in advance.
Oh, I adore you. You know, I've heard so many stories of how childhood can be ruined by parents, but you can't...
So he's heard all these stories? Where did you read these stories? You must be reading some dark books and everything was so wonderful and charming in your life. Why are you reading Schopenhauer? You know.
You guys have been amazing. You're so caring and attentive and sympathetic and loving and adequate and...
So all of that is supposed to somehow make it okay. So if you could be all of those things, if you could be sympathetic and caring and loving and all of that crap, that somehow it's going to fix your kid having polio. Come on. You know, or he's ugly. You're going to fix it with the magic, I'm a wonderful parent, so your life is going to be just fine. Yeah, you're ugly. Yeah, you know. Too bad.
Tactical and intelligent, creative, active, and healthy, and wealthy, and even good-looking. You know, I've always been thinking, my folks are just simply perfect.
Your words mean everything.
You guys deserve the best praising. Honestly, I mean that.
Brother, it just never happened.
I love you.
Oh, we love you too. We are so excited to introduce you to our world.
Oh. Your world. Yeah. Alright.
Do I sense some confusion?
Oh, no, please. Go ahead.
So you know that you don't have a body yet, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're here.
Oh, God. So how could you have any kind of life without having a body? I mean, I'm just trying to think of any part of my life where I could say that it was some sort of experience that wasn't connected to me in my physical body, you know, and that was the circumstance, you know. It was part of the reality, how tall I was, how thin I was, what I was wearing, all of that mattered to the environmental circumstance. Well, I'll take a pause, see if I can get a better attitude here. Alright, back. Alright, so this is sort of kind of a big plot flaw. So it's really great he made this, okay? Getting people to act it out and all that is great. It's not a bad story in some sense, I suppose. Talking to somebody in a TV, okay? But yes, I mean, why not have the experience as a whole? You know, why wouldn't you synthesize just being a head, a floating head? You can't even imagine a life as a floating head. I mean, it just isn't, you know, it's not even a comparison. And I guess part of what I would say is that, I mean, really, antinatalism, if you're just going to separate from ephelism, I mean, ephelism just is a recognition that all these animals struggle. Most of them get killed as children. It's just mass murder on an insane level. Bad idea. Okay, I mean, for one adult lion, you got to kill 9 little lion cubs. I mean, it's a who wants that bargain? Nobody would take that bargain. Nobody reasonable would take that bargain if they had to do the killing. You know, if you had to inject the kids with the cancer, you wouldn't do it. Okay, no matter what prize there is, you'd just say, fuck it, I'm not doing this. You'd say, okay, oh, there won't be any humans in the universe. Well, so what? Okay, I didn't have to inject a kid with cancer. It's a fair trade, frankly, more than fair. I'm going to feel way ahead. All right, I prevented one cancer. Whoa, and all I lost was human beings in the universe. Oh, okay, who cares? I guess I would more focus on these individual people recognizing that their life wasn't easy. They don't have a nice house. You don't have all this stuff unless you work, you know, and you have to, you know, you struggle to succeed and you struggle to accomplish more and to do better. I mean, even if you're just, you know, putting in your living room, no matter what we do, we try to excel. We try to, you know, win, and we try to win to our own satisfaction. So even if the standard for winning in society is only here, we'll try to hit here. And our life is a struggle, and we do have to fight with it constantly, and we have to overcome all these limitations and liabilities, and just even imagining some of that, and then doing it in the context of the world you see, where the average person, you wouldn't want to live their life. So the people listening to this video probably aren't the average person, and they probably have had some sense of being destroyed by ambitions and all of that stuff, and being consumed by perfectionism and all of that psychology. So, they don't need the argument. But, that would have been better to get them to recognize that how much work their own life was, and that it wasn't for free, and it did have all this crap in it, and they did have to watch grandma die horribly, and they did have to da-da-da-da-da-da. It's not like they're going to have some free ride, and they haven't even done the worst part of it, which is you have to concede that your existence is going to end, and you're going to have to be crippled and torn to pieces, literally. You're going to get ground up in the meat grinder. The odds are you're not going to get lucky and just die in your sleep. And you haven't even done that part yet. And that should be one of the biggest arguments against natalists is, hey, you haven't even done the dying thing. How can you set somebody else up to do it when you haven't even done it? You haven't rode that part, that ride at the amusement park. You didn't ride it yet. How can you be giving your ticket, giving your kid a ticket to the amusement park when you haven't done that ride yet?
We have your best interests at heart.
So this would be a big, huge lie. So nobody has your best interest at heart. I mean, this is all such lies. So, it's kind of another false premise. This isn't why people have kids. It's because they have their best interest at heart or any of that crap.
We want to ask your permission to bring you into the human world.
What if we was to conceive you
tonight?
So they're waiting for the programmed artificial intelligence to tell them, yeah, it's okay, everything's fine, as long as I'm just a head. Yeah. But don't make me a midget or something.
Oh, sorry, no, yeah. I just got blown away by the depth of your intelligence. Well.
Oh, yeah, so now he's being patronizing.
Basically, where do I start? Quite frankly, mathematically speaking, the life that you want to give me is a negative sum game. The bad column far outstrips the good one.
Well, it's the more important point is the Benetarian asymmetry point would be, is that all the goods are basically evasions of a bad. Okay, mitigations are evasions of bad. So the good is the boat didn't sink. Okay, so not being diseased, not being ill, not being this, not it's the negatives, evading the negatives are the positives. Effectively, you really can't come up with a scenario where it's just not true that the goods are made out of eliminating a bad. And so there is no intrinsic good. There's nothing you do as a consciousness in the universe to heal, okay, to fix something broken. The universe is just fine. You don't perfect it by existing. You create a liability by existing, a liability of failure, of it being imperfect.
Oh yeah, there is suffering, but that's just life. You've worked through it by dealing with it profoundly. You make it richer, more meaningful.
You silver lining it or something. Yes, okay, fine. That doesn't undo it. Okay, and again, you're imposing it on somebody else. So it's one thing for me to say, I like something and I know somebody else hates it. It would be idiotic for me to say, well, because I like it, I can force you to endure it. I mean, that would just be stupid.
Institutes of life create that stream, which provide an endless current of joy.
Yeah.
The fact that...
Okay, a current of joy. I mean, really, I don't see the anti-natalists using the current of joy argument. But who knows? Maybe some of them do.
one enjoys one's life doesn't make one's existence better than non-existence.
You can't state that. Not coming into existence is a negative-sum game because you're deprived from all the good things, huh?
The good things of taking advantage of the fact that you got lucky. Yeah, because 90% of the good things that'll happen to you have absolutely nothing to do with anything you did. They had to do with the world didn't do something to you. You know, you didn't have any. You had all the happy accidents instead of the unhappy accidents. I mean, we don't get here because of what, you know, it's the whole free will argument. You really don't make you. The world makes you. Your experiences make you. You don't get any credit. You don't get any blame.
I don't exist. Then there's no one who can be deprived. And even if goods and pleasures enjoyed by existers are advantages of their lives, they're not advantages that secure the costs of existence.
Right, Mars is doing just fine without cancer and mayhem and divorce courts and, you know, psycho killers and, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. Doing just fine. No sharks. Yeah, doing just fine.
There is simply nothing in existence that can overweigh non-existence.
There's no inject a kid with cancer thing, okay? Again, what are you going to promise me that is the great thing that we get for me injecting a kid with cancer? And the only way you could make sense to me is that if you said, well, I'll prevent two other kids from getting cancer. All right, then I'll do it. But otherwise, why would I do it? What is there to do it for? What is the great accomplishment, the great win? No, there isn't any.
John, I have a question.
Daniel, you cannot leave the room until the end of the session.
But he thinks I'm...
Oh, well, the rules.
Weird stuff about life. Is there anything wrong with the program?
It's not a program. It's a perfectly functioning mind of your yet unborn child. So please, go back to the room and finish the conversation. It's really important for all of us here.
Yeah, somehow they said it to their kid, even though they don't think it. I don't know.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Hey, look at us. We've been through so many things, and based on our experience, there are way more good things than bad.
Look, Dad, can you tell me 5 things that have happened to you in the last month?
Well, I had a dinner with your mom, and I lifted 100 kilos, and yeah, I got promoted, and I've tried Ultimate Frisbee, and yeah, it was fun.
And these are the most emotionally significant things for you, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, not the moment when your father called you, saying he's considering suicide because of unrelenting loneliness?
He's considering suicide because of unrelenting loneliness. Well, that's not a very good reason.
Or the moment you found ringworm on your scrotum. Or how about the moment when your cat got attacked by those stray dogs? Or the moment the mum said she'll leave you for another man if you don't have a baby with her, and you'll end up pretty much just like your father.
So she says you have to have a baby? I don't know. Too silly.
These were the most emotionally significant things for you. None of them, though.
So, yeah, the real point is that inside of everybody has got to be some recognition that even people who are pro-life, okay, it is just an endless battle against the onslaught. You know, you're just constantly, you know, got to pull your sword and fight this demon and then this one and then this one and then this one. And it's like we're supposed to be, like in the movies, you know, some hero that has endless endurance and endless power and just goes on and on and on, struggle, struggle, struggle. And, we play the part, but you have to feel it inside that, man, it just gets so boring and tired after a while. The context of a conversation with somebody who's 20 years old versus 30 versus 40. Obviously, this conversation about having kids is one that happens, but, you know, with people that are still, you know, their energy level is still pretty high. If the conversation were with people who are 60 years old, it'd be a different conversation, I'm sure. Be a recognition that, oh, yeah, this gladiator thing just gets so fucking tedious.
You thought worth mentioning?
Well, you asked me and those things popped up first.
You guys. You just...
Boy, you real people are so synthetic. You're so fake. You're so phony. You're so full of shit.
You tend to ignore just how much of your lives are characterized by discomfort and pain and suffering and loneliness and distress and guilt and shame, irritation, boredom, anxiety, frustration.
Yeah, regret, resentment, disappointment, the sloppiness, right? The fact that it's all so fucking imperfect that it's almost like you don't even bother anymore because you know, you don't buy the new car, but you know the bird's going to shit on it. You know, you just figure it all out that it's all just going to turn to shit. You can't maintain any of it. You can't hold on to any of it. It's all just slips through your fingers and you end up in some Shakespearean moment talking to a skull, you know, about how fruitless life is.
Stress, fear, grief, sadness, hunger, thirst, bladder distension, allergies, thermal discomfort.
I don't need to know all of this.
Body image dissatisfaction, menstrual pains, headaches, the ravages of AIDS, of cancer, of other such life-threatening diseases. Your lives are in fact much worse than you think.
Yes, but you
can... yes, but you can pretend it isn't so bad. Yes.
You can adapt.
You can't...
Oh, whatever, yes, the adapting. The acquisition, whatever the word I'm trying to find is, you get old, it's, you know, you lose them. The acclimating, that's all it is. You just acclimate to the new reality.
Hell, but adapt. Like the frog, you're bathing in the soup of life, and with the temperature rising slowly, you will tolerate more and more discomfort until you're cooked to death.
Yes, death is scary, but when you're here, when you're real, there is just that feeling that life is simply worth living.
Yes, because you're in a phase of life that is not as bad as it's going to get. One day, life reaches a certain threshold of badness, and here we go. No quantity of good will be able to overweigh it. Like...
Okay, so I don't know exactly why the computer program has this knowledge and the parents don't.
Look, Dad, I have a box.
So somehow the parents raised this head... I don't know. Did the head go to school? I don't know.
And for you, would you exchange 30 minutes of the worst pain for 60 minutes of the best pleasure?
Well, no. but yeah, the whole point is not to sit there and try to measure or diminish even the power of the... glorious moments, no matter how few they are. But just the recognition that they're just perceptual, that they're not real, you know, in any sense beyond you thinking it. So again, if somebody fooled you into thinking you won the lottery, there wouldn't be any difference between your joy than if you actually won the lottery. So it'd be just like the experience of winning the lottery, right? Except if you could just drop dead before you find out you got fooled, right? So you don't have the memory of just being fooled. But I just mean it's just this idea. It's an idea, a thought, okay? It's the context that we put on things that make them magical or special or all of this crap. And again, that's all tied to memories and understanding your place in the world and, you know, your ego, how you feel about yourself, all of this crap, okay, that can be, you know, you can change that perception. And that's all it is, just a perception. So yeah, let's let it go. It's not all that meaningful an event. it's just a story you've told. It's a narrative in your head. And I can, you know, rewrite the little story in some way and what you will feel about your existence will completely change. And it's not because of something real, it's just because of some trivial detail.
No.
Okay. How about 15 minutes of the worst pain for 60 minutes of the best pleasure? Are we cooking?
No.
Okay,
no.
My final offer. 1 minute of the most worst, excruciating pain for 120 minutes of the best, most profound pleasure you will ever.
Well, 1 minute, I might be tempted. Yeah. But the fact that I'm tempted doesn't mean anything.
Experience.
Well, it sounds like a bargain.
What? Are you crazy? Imagine what can happen to you.
You see, there is a very unfortunate asymmetry between the sheer quality of pleasure and pain.
Okay, so he's using the word asymmetry, but again, it's, you know, there's no asymmetry in the sense that the two things are the opposite, in the sense of one's broken, one's fixed, one's regular, one's irregular. I mean, just that you can come up with lots of other analogistic terms for the word pleasure and pain. And there's no asymmetry, in my opinion, between the two. But the point is that one doesn't fix the other. They can't undo each other. It's, I don't know if you can turn into a physics argument, but I mean, it's this left, you turn left, you actually have to turn left, and then you compensate to get back to normal by turning right. They're both real motion, but you don't get anywhere, and you don't undo having to do them. Let's see, that's probably not the best. Well, we'll work on it.
The latter hits harder, with a higher frequency and longer duration. Alas, nature is designed to bestow upon you an immense amount of suffering.
Yeah, the pleasure's just there to keep you addicted, to give you the idea that there's relief to be grabbed, and there's immunity, and there's freedom, and there's, you know, a burden. You can let it go after a while, whatever the thing is. So it's there to keep you moving through your life. So we're addicts, and we need our fix, all right, of some sense of peace of mind and physical comfort. And the pain is just there to point out there's all these things that are dangerous. And the fact is that the mechanism doesn't work very well, and so you feel a lot of pain that's completely unnecessary, because you already know. It's like, you know, if you already know your leg is broken and you need to put it in a cast, then you don't need to feel pain.
It is written so deeply into the structure of sentient life. It's just...
There you go. Yes, yes, yes. And again, there's nothing to win here except a perception, except to write a silly little story that doesn't need to be read. You know, there's no function. There's nothing made. There's no product except wasted pain, because the whatever pleasure you felt was only because you eradicated some portion of the negative. The only time you're going up is when you're fixing going down.
It's just unavoidable.
You don't trust us. You don't want to come into existence.
With the question that you posed onto me, you are playing Russian roulette with a full...
There, that's the good, you know, good analogy. The risk is the point. The risk that it's just not going to be a perfect life, that you're not going to be able to control it. And even when things go well, you know, like I said, you know, 2 years, you win the Oscar, and 2 years later, you die of cancer, you know, kind of crap.
Fully loaded gun, aimed, of course, not at your own heads, but at mine. So why are you so confused about my hesitance to pull the trigger?
Why are you so nihilistic?
No, I don't...
So it's kind of funny that, you know, this does parallel the arguments I get, you know, about somehow it's nihilism to reject the value of your delusional sense of, I won the lottery, when, no, it's just a lie. I wouldn't want to live your life, and you know I wouldn't. You know, come on. Tell the truth. Do you think I would want to live your life? No, you know I wouldn't.
Reject your values. I'm trying to serve them the best way possible. I'm your son.
But by hinting that the best scenario for us is to go
By hinting that the best scenario for us is to go extinct. Yeah, the best scenario is for you know, us not to sit there and endorse mass murder. Yeah, so don't endorse mass murder.
acting?
No, please, live. Find some meaning, enjoy the ride if you can. The question is not would you rather be dead, but...
Yeah, well, it is a good question, but anyway, the question is you're not going to solve anything by killing yourself. In terms of fixing the world or making things better for sentient life or any of that. So, yes, don't kill yourself if you can help prevent more harm, because the things in the future aren't going to be any different than you, and they're going to be just, you'll be saying in the future, why didn't you do any, why you committed suicide, you stupid lazy bum? You could have prevented my existence, fuckhead.
Would you rather have not existed?
I prefer this conversation never existed.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to swallow the conclusion that it's better not to have been.
So you want us to break the continuity, this circle of life?
It's a misleading experience.
Well, whatever it is, it's a horrible circle of life. I mean, you know, it's just one of the, it's just so, it's like it, even a kid doesn't fall for it, frankly. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, Bambi popped into my head, another little, you know, and they really don't end those stories, right? It's not like, well, and everybody lived happily ever after. No, I mean, you can figure out for yourself. That's not what happens to things. They don't live happily ever after. So that's just a lie. So, yeah, you can always finish the story, and it's always like, oh, well, shit. Yuck. That wasn't any good. I mean... Circle of Life implies happily ever after, and there is, it doesn't work that way. Anyway, I'll be back. Okay, we're back. So, let's finish up, hopefully.
Depression, you're not going in a circle. You live, you die, and you're gone forever. And if you breed, then you're just adding up another layer to the procreational Ponzi scheme of suffering.
It's in our nature to procreate.
Okay, so whatever. So these are all arguments, you know, that are really kind of silly. It's in a woman's nature, maybe. Okay, it's not in a man's nature at all. But whatever. You know, certainly not in his psychology. It's not built in structurally. It's all about possession and, frankly, fucking and not much else. So, you know, let's not, you know. It's just, people just keep writing these silly fables.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Human existence, although but a blip on the radar of cosmic time, is laden with madness that is directed to no end other than its own perpetuation.
Look, your arguments are correct, but not relevant, because we're genetic, but not logical beings.
Well, genetically speaking, you got...
Okay, so we're not logical beings, it's just, you know... So this is such a bad argument in some ways that just even shouldn't even be addressed as an argument. obviously, we're perfectly conditionable, cultural. We are completely logical. And it just depends on what kind of, you know, you can make these little illogical steps. That is, you can accept it being indoctrinated into a cult or a religion or something. And have, and then you'll make everything you'll do will be based on that piece of that as a fact, and you will build your logic based on that fact being true. But I could argue that most people who have accepted something illogical, like a religion, have already logically are playing some other game, because clearly they don't show any real devotion to any part of the religion, and they'll, you know, they're easily seduced out of that belief being meaningful. Okay, because they will sin all over the place.
As aggressive animals, full of prejudice, but it's not appropriate to behave this way. So, what's the problem to reevaluate the utility of the other obsolete biological impulse?
What is wrong with...
So there's no biological impulse, okay? So, yes, we're driven, you know, we're driven by an impulse to commit an act. The act can cause pregnancy and reproduction. But clearly the actors aren't doing it for that purpose, okay? Salmon aren't swimming upstream so they can deform and die and become food for their babies. They don't have that ambition at all, okay? They don't have that notion in their head. What's driving them is something simpler, like it smells good going that way. I mean, they're hungry for what it smells like upstream. They don't know what they're in for.
Yeah. Indeed. Who am I if not an accidentally happened blunder of life pondering on its quiet misfortunate position? Some kind of hyperactivity of the psychological survival system stolen from non-existence.
Okay, so it's all said a little too quickly to be really understood by anybody and to blah, blah. But anyway, it's okay. Yes, we're just psychobabble. We're just full of, you know, psychology. The wheels are constantly turning in this little stupid world we're living in. There's crap on your desk, okay, that defines who you are. I mean, the crap on my, I got, you know, these old batteries that I just won't throw out because it looks like a battery. It just doesn't work like a battery anymore. But anyway, you know, crap, a lid to something. I don't know what that's a lid to. It's on my desk. It's who I am.
I'm a conscious nothing, progressing into extinction while reflecting on reasons. Why should generations unborn be spared entry into the human threshold?
The human threshold?
Please don't interrupt me.
The meat grinder. So now it's getting like, oh, okay, this was really a sham business, and they really just, they're just the same talking head talks to every parent. I don't know. It just doesn't make much sense.
I'm getting poetic. Isn't it arrogant to think that human presence makes the world a better place?
No, the universe, yes. No, of course it doesn't. Martian presence wouldn't make the world. Oh, the universe would be so much cooler if there were Martians and Uranians and Plutonians and Saturnites and all of that crap. No, it wouldn't be. It would just be more liability. There'd be more hungry cats to feed.
Nothing in nature needs us. Nothing will miss us because we are apparently not from here.
Well, it doesn't really matter. I don't know this not from here part. That's a little spooky. yeah, the fact is it's going to annihilate anyway. So eventually the whole thing is going to be ended. All right. The universe is going to end the story because it's all going to get irradiated because the sun's going to die and we're not going to really be able to escape the solar system. It ain't going to happen. And blah, 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 blah. And so everything that's happening on Earth is going to have to end someday. So you're just sentencing to all those people to have to deal with that hard fact. So why don't we just get it over with? Why don't we just spare them all this trouble and just get it done? Just let it gracefully exit.
So let us strive through the cocoon of vital fiction. Let us dissolve back into the dark corner of infinity.
Well, I don't know where this dark corner is. We don't need light, so when you don't need light, it ain't dark.
We sincerely want you in our lives.
No. You sincerely want to get your fair share of existential anesthesia to forget.
Right, you want to get something, but you're not getting it. You know, you're, whatever you're deriving from this accomplishment, you know, whatever it is to you, a badge of some kind. Satisfying some need, like, again, your relationship is so dysfunctional and boring that you need some third person to fuck with it to keep you both distracted enough to find purpose.
Get yourselves behind the veil of busyness by nurturing and raising.
And we know that most people didn't do it for any good reason at all. Like, my parents conceded, yes, just we did it because everybody else did it. You just did it because people did it. Okay, they did not do it. Okay, there was no... Not doing it seemed like a protest of some kind, and they weren't protesters, so they did it because, you know, they weren't going to be protesters. But yeah, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't any big idea. There was just, they came from a world that was so myopic. And now people, that's the big difference between now and then, is that all of those people who did it for no good reason now can realize, hey, I can protest without being a protester. I don't have to look different or be different or, you know, be culturally, you know, looked at funny, okay, by making the choice not to do it.
You want an insurance policy, a devoted shit wiper for your future decrepit butts.
Look, you won't be a shit wiper. Everything will be covered by our investments. Look
whatever.
Around, we are rich.
My dear child, please don't be so pessimistic. You'll be raised on New Age philosophy. You can reunite with the sanctuary that humanity abandoned.
No, whatever that is. So, you'll be silly like us. I like wearing pajamas.
Nature will weep the day you die.
You're offering me a pill that is supposed to cure the disease, but what if I don't want the disease itself? And if you can spare me of the ignominies of existence.
Well, yeah, just, you know, the tedious bullshit. Who needs it? And the empty accomplishments. Like I said, you win the gold medal. If you're rational, you start thinking, well, that other guy was better than me. He just had a bad day, you know. And then you start thinking about all the people who really needed to win the gold medal, you know, a lot more than you do. You know, it was going to get them, the girl would fall in love with them if they won the gold medal. This would happen, that would happen. You know, and then you think about all the lives ruined by all the people trying to win the gold medal but failing and, you know, being crippled for the rest of their life. All the people in wheelchairs.
If with this conversation you are presenting me the right of not being born, then I would like to exercise it.
It'd be really funny if this actually worked. You know, if you could just say that, I'm not going to pay any attention to him. You know, they would just, you know, like this would stop somebody, you know, who's set on baby raising.
Yeah?
Sir, they lost time and they got rejected as well.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the bad news. They got rejected as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the news.
Okay.
What happened to the program? Oh, they read a book. I can't let the babies read the book in the program. So if they don't read the book, better never to have been, then they'll be okay. But if they do, they don't.
I established Nextus Corporation 30 years ago with our tech solution. We wanted people to make better decisions about procreation.
We didn't want anybody to go child-free or to help them make this decision.
100 Mind, we generated.
We took the best possible DNA, the best possible parents.
And what happened?
What's the point of the DNA argument when they don't have a body?
100% of the time, this synthetic mind refuses to enter this carnal world. It's as if they all sense something honorable in deciding not to exist, in aborting their own birth. It's as if they want the...
No, they're probably already saying, I already did this and been there and done that. Why haven't I been there and done it again? Fuck that.
Global population to become zero. It's as if they understand that to enter this world is to become scars on the face of existence.
No, yes, just scars in the graveyard, just more unfinished stories, sad stories, tragic stories, blah, 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 blah. Good people die young, crappy people live too long, I mean, blah, 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 blah.
Only goal, whose only reasonable responsibility is to but heal.
Prevent is a really good thing to do, is preventing. prevent unnecessary risk, prevent the consequence of taking unnecessary risks, and then, you know, prevent the risk itself.
That video is inspired by these two books. Thank you so much to all the...
Alright. The Gaudi, yeah.
The actors, please check out Jasper's YouTube channel. He's an amazing artist. Thank you so much to Hannah, Jacob, Costa, and as well Anastasia and Alicia. Filmed and color graded by Simply Costa.
Right. So it wasn't bad, right? I mean, pretty fairly well produced. And all of that crap, directed, filmed, you know, whatever all that crap is. So, credit where credit's due, not a bad, it's sort of an interesting story, you know, just with the little defects. You know, I mean, the idea of having a synthetic life, you know, without a body just doesn't make much sense. So, I mean, that is so different than our experience that you could almost not say you could have a conversation with somebody who maturated in that kind of environment without a body. I mean, it just no, that's not possible. But anyway, so good that people do this stuff. Excellent. So very good, frankly. But yes, the bigger story is the DNA story as a whole, that life on this planet is not, you know, it's more harm than value, in the sense that obviously if an octopus has 10,000 babies, you know, and only one of them gets to, you know, two get to maturation, there's a lot of bad stories there, right? There's a lot of tragic ends, you know, and yeah, all of those bad endings aren't worth that, you know, different story where it actually gets to reproduce and then get killed. Ugh. So again, all these people talking about how great it is to live and die, okay, and they haven't died yet, you know, so yeah, that's, you know, tell me, it's, you know, I mean, that's just the unfortunate fact is this: the dead can't talk, you know, they can't tell you that, oh yeah, those last 10 years in the nursing home were really bad, fuck the whole thing, I wouldn't do that over again. Yeah, but you don't hear those stories, you don't hear that testimony. So, all right, I think that's enough of a video, right? It's certainly long enough. So I think this was worth doing this way, just because it was sort of interesting. Yeah, for me anyway. I don't know, maybe not for you, but whatever. It's another video. It's another piece of perspective, blah, blah, blah. Take it for whatever value you can derive out of it and such. So, this has been donotgod.com video presentation. Google is just evil. And, you know, you should always keep that in mind. And that any opportunity you have to voice your opinion and your authority to change anything, yes, we shouldn't have the internet run by Google. That needs to change. That's part of the nest building for the future. You know, don't let Google raise them. Anyway, till the next time, and such, and so forth and whatnot.